Hey there, welcome to lie number 39 with Brittany Rust. Today's lie is, everything you hear must be true.
You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.
Before we head into today's lie, I wanted to read this review on iTunes from Kaylee. She says, I'm so thankful for the space Jessica has recreated that is empowering and equipping people with what they need most. In a world where the focus is what feels good, what everyone else is doing, this podcast shines a light on how we can truly live our best life by following the truth. I know the investment and time poured into this podcast will make an impact for generations to come. Kaylee, thank you so much for taking the time to leave a rating and a review. I know so many listening can probably be encouraged just by the testimonies that people have left on the podcast themselves. And this is really God's work. Thank you for just taking the time because it gets into the hands, it helps to get into the hands of other women like you. Now, before we get into this lie, I wanted to give you a little background. I love this lie, first of all, because it's about challenging the narrative that we believe, especially in a time right now where we hear so much information. We live in an age of information where everything we hear, we think is true. And I love that it's about challenging, it's about asking questions, it's about being in God's word so that we can find the truth. And that's what Brittany and I are going to be doing today. We're going to be diving deeper into this lie that everything you hear must be true. And we're going to speak truth to this lie. Let's go ahead and get to the interview. Brittany, thank you so much for your yes. Thank you for coming on today. I am really excited, and I think I say that a lot, but today I'm really excited because we're talking about lies and truth. And today's lie is everything you hear must be true. And I think especially with today that there's so much noise. Everybody is like triple the people on social media. What lie right now do you think people are believing the most?
Oy, there's a lot. You know, I say I love Instagram for the connections, and I truly believe the gospel is going out like never before, and I think that's incredible. But it's also a very dangerous place because we do have so many voices, and it is hard to discern who is a biblically, theologically sound source and who isn't. And I think one of the most popular ones that's sort of going around that a lot of Christian women are believing is you are the hero of your own story. And I think we might know who that might be. It's Rachel Hollis. Even a live Instagram live, I don't follow her, but people will send some of her content my way and ask my thoughts about it. Somebody showed a Instagram live that she did last week and somebody said that God is in control and she shot that down. And really essentially went back to that lie where you are, if you just work hard enough, if you just hustle hard enough, you can do anything that you want and you can reach any height that you want. But it's all in this self, like you doing it. And really that goes back to the lie that she's been saying from the beginning is that you are the hero of your own story. And so many women are buying into this hustle culture. They're buying into this lie that if I am just good enough, if I just work hard enough, that anything is possible. And women are burnt out. They're tired. It's not working because as we know, ultimately God is in control and you can work as hard as you want, but God can still shut that door. And so I think we just, when you asked that question, that was the first thing that popped in my mind because I'm hearing it time and again. It's the lie that keeps being shared over and over again from this source.
Yeah, I can see that. I think especially now that in 2020, how things have been shut down and people are trying to improvise and that sense of urgency in us. And when we hear certain messages like that, it causes us to go, oh, I probably need to be doing more then because I'm not doing enough right now. And it can be a really easy spiral to go down. Now, Brittany, for those that don't know you at all, where did this really start for you as far as speaking theologically and the Bible for you? Like, tell us a little bit about kind of your journey with that.
Yeah, so I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We never talked about God, Jesus, never went to church. And when I was 16, I was already addicted to sex, pornography, masturbation. I was in depression. I was put on medicine for an ulcer, everything you can think of. I was just a hot mess. And when I gave my heart to Jesus at 16 years old, when I heard the gospel, I knew this is what I had always been yearning for, this truth. And when I became a Christian, because I knew nothing, I threw myself into resources, into reading books about faith and what it meant to be a Christian and about the Bible. And I was constantly listening to sermons. So I was constantly absorbing resources to help me sort of catch up a little bit. You know, what does it look like to be a Christian? I had no understanding. And so because that was so important to my faith journey, especially early on, that's now my passion, is to provide those same resources to people that are questioning or are unsure or don't have that foundation, because there are so many noises out there. You may wonder, like, how do I know, like, what's biblical and what's not? And so for me, biblical literacy is one of my passions, is that anything that's communicated is biblically sound. You know, are there still going to be people who disagree? Of course, there are both sides on every topic, right? No matter how, you know, super spiritual the person might be, there's still going to be someone that doesn't agree with that. So there's always going to be other people on the other side. But, you know, I research the Bible, I study the Bible, I take things into context, I don't isolate a verse, you know, and I just really study and hope that, you know, bringing to the table this truth that really feeds people the meat, not just, you know, the milk, but it's feeding them the meat that they really need to grow and to mature. And so that's where that really started for me. And then as I started serving in my church and I went into full-time ministry right out of high school, like, God just showed me what my giftings were, where that lot, and it happened to be in writing and teaching. And so for me, it's naturally using what God has put inside of me to do what I love and help others along the way. That truly is why I do what I do, because I was that person and I'm still that person. Like, I don't have it all figured out, and that's why I'm diving into scripture, but hopefully helping people understand the word as I do as well.
Yeah. Can you share with people what Bible literacy is? Because maybe they've never heard it that way, especially for new believers. What does that mean?
Biblical literacy is really just knowing the word of God. We've gotten very comfortable going to church and hearing the Bible taught there, but we're not really consuming it for ourselves in our everyday lives. We're not reading the word. We're not taking it in. We're not really knowing it. We're just relying on somebody else to tell us what to think or what the Bible says. And so biblical literacy, it's really knowing the word for yourself. It's really getting in there and studying it, not just reading it and let it kind of go in one ear and out the other. It's really taking it in, absorbing it, learning it. What is Jesus saying in this passage? What is God? What dots is he connecting in this chapter? Like, it's understanding the fullness of the context of that word. And so when I talk about biblical literacy in simple terms, I'm just encouraging people to be in the word for themselves and to really know it for themselves.
Yeah. I think that's also why, I know we both work with a lot of women, and I think when I ask women if they read the Bible, they often will say no. And some people go to church and don't own a Bible, you know, and I think that is also why they keep feeling empty, is because they get only that fill on certain days of the week or just in the podcast or whatever. Even if you're listening to this podcast, I mean, such small amounts of time instead of pursuing the Bible themselves, which is why I think it can be overwhelming for them, because they're just focused on what other people are telling them before just starting the Bible themselves. And
I think, you know, God can speak to you and minister to you through the teaching, you know, through somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, but God primarily speaks through his word. That's how God will, you know, when people say, well, God spoke to me, God primarily speaks through his word. It's not an audible voice. You know, it's not a prophecy someone speaks over you. It's from his word. And so you're going to be fed most by investing your time into studying and reading the Bible. Like, that's how God's going to minister to you. So you're right. You're going to feel empty if that's all you're getting is that Sunday message. Like, the more that you spend in the Word, you're allowing God to feed you and to speak into your life and to minister to you. And that's why it's so important to be in the Word, because that's how you get to know God, and that's how you allow God to really minister to you.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, let's kind of pivot now to the to the lie. I love it. Is tell me more about what this lie means to you. Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah. So I will say that as a new believer, I literally believed everything that I heard. You know, if it was a coming from a Christian, oh, they've been a Christian longer than me, then that must be true. And so for a long time, I took anything anybody said to me at like, oh, okay, they know what they're talking about. This must be truth. And the longer I became a Christian, the more mature I got, the more I studied the Word, there were just simply things that I heard that I was like, wait, that doesn't line up with what I read in scripture from this book in the Bible or whatever that be might be. And so there, if you're not biblically literate, you're not going to be able to identify those lies. And so you might just believe, like I once did, that anything anybody says must be true because they have this platform and they have this many followers and they have this book, so they must know what they're talking about. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they know what they're talking about. Like, just because you say you're a Christian and you write under the, you know, banner of Christianity doesn't mean that your resources are biblically sound. And so I feel like I'm going on a rabbit hole because I get really passionate about this and I can talk about this for a while. But for me, I was that person that took everything in and just believed it. And then with maturity and just relationship with the Lord, realized it's okay to question like things that you hear. You should test things that you hear. If something doesn't sound right, if your spirit, there's like a little red warning sign going off in your spirit, like listen to that and then go hold it up to the Word of God. Like compare that with what God's Word says. And it's okay if they don't match up. And if it doesn't match up, then now you know that's a lie and you don't take that into your life. But all to say is, if you're not in the Word, it's going to be hard to discern what's a lie and what's truth.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you, I often say to help women discern between lie and truth is that a lie will always bring destruction of some kind. It usually moves you further away from God, and a truth will always bring restoration.
Yes.
You know, the truth always brings restoration. How would you describe when somebody's reading or listening to differentiate between a lie and a truth?
That's good. You know, a lot of people will message me, or when I talk about some false theology I might see, they'll message me and be like, you know, I started reading so-and-so and then a light went off. Like just something didn't feel right. I hear that all the time. And maybe they don't always give value to that warning sign. And so I would say first and foremost, like if you do feel like just something isn't right here, or you're not even sure, or you would question it, like question it, you know, like don't just push that inkling aside, like listen to that small voice inside of you that's saying something doesn't sound right here and go and test that right with the Word of God. You know, there are so many noises out there. I wrote a whole book on all the noises, both external and internal, that we fight every single day. And you really, in order to know what's not of God and what is of God, primarily that is, like I mentioned, it's being in the Word of God, because that's how you get to know God. You get to know who He is, what He cares about, what His will is, like all those things that are so the heart of God and so important to Him. You get to know those things through His Word. And so, you know, first and foremost, be in the Word of God so that you can test those things and you'll know when something doesn't sound right, you know, and then you can like go back and test it.
I think that people don't really want to hear that it's in God's Word because they want somebody to tell them, and it's easier for somebody to tell us, right? And it's almost sounds like the Christianese answer too, because it's in the Word, it's in the Bible, because we just, you know, it just rolls off our tongue and that's the answer to everything. Yeah. But it really is the answer to everything. And that's probably one of the only phrases we can say that is the answer to everything, you know, besides like, cause there's a lot of things that we say, and this really truly is, well, it's, you're going to only know that if you read in the Word. What was one of the biggest lies that you were believing that you were hearing that took you a long time to kind of unravel to bring to the truth?
Well, the biggest lie I've wrestled with since I was a kid was you are not good enough, you know? And so I was always working really hard for the approval of people. And then when I became a Christian, I added, you know, then I, not only people, but I was trying to work really hard for the approval of God. And it was this very works-based mentality that, again, if you, you know, just work hard enough, or if you just hustle hard enough, that you will get where you want to go, and then you'll be validated, right? It's this validation of your worth and your value if you get to a certain place that you work really hard to get to. And that left me so shattered, that lie. I still wrestle with it sometimes. I'll start believing, well, Brittany, you just do this hard enough, and I have to like shut that down. And I know that's the enemy, right? God would not speak over me, Brittany, you are not good enough. Like, God would not, that's not his language. And so I know that's the enemy. But for me, this was about a year and a half ago, God really started deconstructing that lie and filling it with the truth that is in God's word. And the passages that he kept bringing to me to sort of debunk that lie were these passages in Corinthians where Paul, he talks about more than once boasting in his weaknesses, right? He's not boasting in his strengths. He's not boasting in his experience. He's boasting in his weaknesses. And what he's really elevating is that I'm going to boast in where I fail, and I'm going to be open about where I fail and where I'm not enough. I'm going to speak to those areas, because when I lean into my weaknesses, then God's strength is made perfect. Like, God's strength shows up in our weaknesses. And for me, I kept fighting weakness because I didn't want people to think I was weak. And, you know, I wanted to obtain what I worked really hard for. And God was like, no, I want you to stop striving and stop doing this in your own strength. And I want you to just lean into your weaknesses so that my strength can show up and take care of this. And really, ultimately, God gets the glory in that. And so that sort of parallels, you know, the lie that we've talked about, that you are the hero of your own story. Like, you're not. Jesus is and will always be the hero of your story and everyone else's story. And we must decrease, right? Like John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase. And so it's okay to lean into the weaknesses. It's okay to say, I don't have this figured out. On my own, I'm not good enough, you know, but in Christ, all things are possible. In Christ, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so for me, that's been the lie I've had to fight the most, is, you know, trying to work and obtain to, you know, show my value and my worth, that I am good enough. And that's been a long journey for me.
I think a lot of people can relate to that though. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some way, shape or form, which is really, I'm just so glad that you shared that. You know, I think no matter what area that you don't feel good enough in, whether it's fitness, health, you know, relationship, or just mm-hmm. overall, I think it's important, like you said. And what I love, what I want you to expand further on, is it goes along with the lie and the truth and differentiating between the two. You talked about, you said the language of God. That's not the language mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the language of God, and what is the language of the enemy? What does that even look like?
Yeah. So the enemy will put a focus on you, whether that's good or bad, whether it's you deserve this and you should get that opportunity and why not you, or in bad terms, like you aren't good enough and you are not worthy and nobody cares about you. Like, the enemy will always make it about you. While God, it's a much bigger picture. It's more about, yes, it's about him, and it's also about just relationship, where he does care about you and he does love you, and he's going to speak truth over you. He's going to speak goodness over you. He's going to speak worth and value over you. But it's not to, you know, make you proud in yourself. It's to show you your identity in Christ. And so, you know, the enemy, it's very much a you-centered language. But God, it's very much, you know, yes, I believe in you and you have value and you have worth, but it's always tied to him. Like, that will always be tied to Christ. And so, you know, the language of the enemy will separate Christ from the equation, but God's language always brings Jesus right back to the center, right back to the heart of every message. And so for me, anytime I speak at all, I'm always pointing to Jesus because He is the answer. He is the hero. He is the redeemer. And so everything points back to Jesus, even in God's word, even in the Old Testament. Some people are like, well, what value does the Old Testament? It's just an outdated book. The Old Testament is constantly pointing to Jesus, right? And so we see that God's language is, it builds up and encourages, but it doesn't do it for your own, like, so you can feel good about yourself. It's always tied to His relationship with you and your identity and the kingdom of God and ultimately Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think when you talk about pointing it back to you, I don't think we realize even how much the enemy has influence over our thoughts in the smallest of details. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, just when we go, I don't feel qualified, or sometimes I like to say we use prayer as an excuse to not take action. Meaning we just sit back and we're like waiting and we're just going to pray about it and we're going to wait and we're going to wait and we're going to wait, which sometimes I just think that's the enemy going, don't move, don't do anything. You know, you don't feel qualified. You don't feel good enough. You know, it's just these little micro phrases that I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait. Of course, we do want to wait on the Lord. Like scripture is clear on that, but it's easy to Christianese things. I'm just going to keep saying that. And make it sound you're so spiritual, but really inside you're just, you don't want to move and you don't want to do those things because you don't want to face the consequence, or will somebody not like you? Will somebody not agree with you? Right. And we start thinking about those things, which I think you would agree are making it about us. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I mean, even God's word call, you know, we are called as fellow workers and that we are co-laborers with Christ. And so yes, wait. That is, you want to be still and hear His voice and wait on the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you don't do your creative best with what God has put into your hand and what He has put in front of you. And so you do work hard. You can't just, like you said, pray and then expect something to happen out of thin air. God can and does do that, but He does want us to work in the process and to steward what He has given us well. And so there's definitely a balance to a lot of spiritual practices and things in the Word of God. And, you know, it's that balance of trusting God in His Word, but also not making excuses to sort of check out in the process.
Mm-hmm. I heard a pastor talk about honor what's in your hand that prepares you for what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have these dreams and we have goals and we wish we were already there like 6 years ago, you know?
Yes.
and we sit there and he was talking about how to ask, like, what is it, a job that you don't really like, but you can honor right now? How can you honor the boss, and how can you honor what's in your hand right now? Whether it's relationships, like I said, your job or whatever, that can prepare you for what's in your heart. Because we can't go from what's in our hand to what's in our heart without a process, a maturing. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so crucial.
Yeah.
What would you really encourage the listeners as far as getting started, as far as hearing the voice of God, especially in the midst of truth and lies? Mm-hmm. Can you maybe guide us through that process of hearing the voice of God when you're reading His word so that you can really begin to identify, okay, this is His voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wrote a book called Here I Am, Responding When God Calls Your Name. And it's based off of, so there are six men in the Bible that when God said their name, they all said the exact same phrase. They said, "Here I am." And it was this exploration of, you know, their faith and their trust and their obedience. And really it's for us an encouragement to be faithful to what God has called us to step out and do. But when I was sitting down to write the book, I could hear people responding like, "Brittany, this is great, but how do I know it's God speaking to me in the first place?" And so I spent the first section of the book even just talking about the voices that are clamoring for your attention. and then how to hear God's voice. And so there are three things that you can start doing today to discern God's voice. The first is read the Bible. And we've talked about that. Like, the Bible is hands down the best way to get to know God. It's the only definitive word that we have for him. Everything else is questionable. But the Bible is without a doubt God's word. And so when we read that, we get to know him and his character and his heart and his will and his desires. And it's the best way to know his voice. And so the more you get the word in you, the more you're going to be able to discern, like, that doesn't line up with God's word. That doesn't line up with what he said in, you know, this book. So read the word of God. Second is prayer. Just like you would have conversation with anybody to get to know them and build a relationship, the same as with God. You have to be in communication with him. That's how you get to know his voice. Like, it's because of the time and communication I've spent with my son that we can be in a room full of people and I will know his one word out of a room full of toddlers because I've spent time to know his voice, right? And so prayer is just spending time with God in communication. And that doesn't mean just a one-way conversation either. That means be still and know that I am God. We have a really hard time being still. Like, you sit in a waiting room and everyone's on their phone. You just sit at a stoplight and people pull out their phone. Like, people have a really hard time just being in silence. And part of communication with God in prayer is being willing to just be silent and to just sit there and allow God to minister to you. And maybe he'll bring verses that you've read or memorized to you to encourage you in that moment or whatever that looks like. But it's reading the Bible. It's two-way communication of prayer. And then the third is practice. You know, one of the ways that you're really going to firm up God's voice in your life is practice. And so if you feel even an inclination to do something or to not do something, I would say do it. Because if that's God speaking to you, then you want to be obedient to that. And so you're going to step out and maybe you missed it. Maybe that wasn't necessarily God, you know, instructing you to do that. That's okay because you've tested that. And now you're like, okay, I know that wasn't God's voice. I know that that was something else. And so with, you know, practice, you get to discerning like, okay, that was God and that wasn't God. And so those are the three things that you can start doing today to really learn how to discern his voice among all the other voices that are out there.
Yeah. Tell us again really quickly.
Yeah. So read the Bible, prayer, and practice. And you start doing that today and God's going to start, you're really going to learn to discern his voice among all the other voices.
Awesome. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for just sharing all that with us today. I just love helping women know, and of course, men, if you're listening, the difference of lies and truth and the language of God versus the language of the enemy. We need to be aware because I think more times than not, we throw everything under the umbrella of God, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to discern that not everything is, you know, him and all the bad things, and he doesn't give us sickness and all these things that we believe. Yeah. And we need to give the enemy basically, like, this is what the enemy says, this is what he's doing, and knowing God's voice in that. So, how can we find you?
Yeah.
And I'll make sure to include the link to your book below as well so they can find your book. But where can we best connect with you and hang out with you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, of course, at Brittany Rust. And I also have a website. It's www.brittanyrust.com. And I have tons of resources on there. I have all my books. I blog every week, podcasts, just providing as many resources as I possibly can to strengthen and encourage you.
Yes. So. You also have a podcast, Truth and Grace.
Yeah,
so one time a month right now, correct?
Yes, once a month. And I kind of, you know, sort of in the same idea where we're tackling tough topics in the church, whether it's topics people don't want to talk about or whether that's lies we talk about in the church. It's really giving people that firm foundation on biblical literacy and the church culture and so forth.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, Brittany. It's been an honor.
Yeah, thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate you and just you having me on the show.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.